Memorial Day. So I started to research Memorial Day. When did Memorial Day become what we know it to be now? And so I did a search online, and the first official Memorial Day was a celebration. And Memorial Day used to be called, does anyone know? You know, Decoration Day, very good. On May 30th, 1868, at Arlington National Cemetery. That's for the first official celebration the way we know it now. How many of you have been to Arlington National Cemetery? What a memorial, what a memorial. D.C. is filled with incredible monuments and memorials. The year that Janet and I moved to Washington, D.C. was the year that the Vietnam Wall, that memorial, was opened. And we used to go down there at night because at night, the way in which they light that wall is haunting. And because it was a brand new memorial, people from all over the country were coming together, and we could see strangers with tears just embrace one another as they were touching the name of someone who maybe died right next to them. Powerful. The World War II memorial and monument had not yet been constructed when we were there, but I've been fortunate enough to go back a number of times and actually to be there when an honor flight crowd has come. And I have seen men who were wheeled in a wheelchair up to a wall stand up out of that wheelchair and touch something to never forget, to always remember. Well, on Thursday, we had our charge conference, and our district superintendent was called away, and so he said, Pete Peterson, even though you have season tickets to the Bucks game, and it's game, I don't want to bring up the Bucks, but he didn't go to the Bucks game to be here with us, and Pete Peterson has served the church in Brookfield and the church in Cedarburg for a number of years. He's currently in a long tenure at the Pewaukee Church. But for 10 years, he was a chaplain in the United States Navy. And as a chaplain in the Navy, he was kind of, his place was the D.C. area, and he used to do services right there at Arlington, right there at Arlington. And you know, if you're in the service, you go through training together, and he had some close friends, other friends that were actually chaplains. And in 1983, one of his dear friends was in an embassy in Beirut that was bombed, and his friend died, and it was Pete's task to have the memorial service at Arlington Cemetery at that memorial. It was powerful. When his daughter was old enough, 13, 14 years old, he took her to Washington, D.C. to show her Arlington, to show her the stone that had the name of his buddy, and she was thoroughly unimpressed. She was bored. And he kind of understood, and he shared with us that were there that his daughter, her own generation, was going to have to create new memorials. But he read to us a passage out of Joshua, remembering that God had opened up the Jordan River so that they could cross through into the promised land. And so I want to read for you the words that he said from that he read from Joshua chapter 4. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the Israelites a memorial forever, established so that they would never forget that our God is the God of deliverance. Well, I was pretty strung out at that meeting on Thursday. I was jet lagged. I got home at midnight, or you know, early in the morning Thursday to my own home. I had been in Germany. Last Sunday, I wasn't here because I had done a wedding at the castle in Heidelberg, Germany. And if any of you are contemplating marriage and you want to go to a fantastic destination and you want to take Pastor Matt with you, at your cost, I am here for hire. Fantastic. And it was a beautiful day, beautiful castle, Heidelberg, because so many American students and allied students were at the university there. It received no bombing in World War II. This castle is there. We did the wedding right there in the castle. And the couple and I have a mutual friend who is in Germany right now getting a PhD in children's literature of the Holocaust. around that. And she was my translator because the German side was there. That's the first time I've done a wedding with a translator. And it was wonderful, beautiful day. But on Tuesday, it wasn't sunny and 70. Tuesday, it was 49 degrees. It was raining and it was windy. And I was at the Dachau concentration camp just outside of Munich. And some of those in my traveling party had been to Dachau before, and they said afterwards, we got to see more things this time. There were new exhibits, and we had access to more things. But to be there and to see the bunker where six or eight were shackled there, having to stand in complete darkness for weeks, to touch the wall that the prisoners were lined up against, execution style, to be in what looked like a shower room and be just inches away from what they were told were going to be shower heads, and we know that water didn't come out of there. No, it was gas. Haunting. As you can imagine, Germany would rather just get rid of all of those kinds of things to try and forget it ever happened, and yet, no. They are there so that we will remember forever. Never forget this happened. Never forget the human capacity to give in to evil, that something like this could happen. And that's what memorials are, by definition. I actually looked up the dictionary definition of memorial, and a memorial is something that keeps remembrance alive. A memorial is that which serves to preserve the memory. And I want to tell you, anything can be a memorial. I graduated from James Madison Memorial High School on the west side of Madison, an entire school as a memorial to the work of, yeah, there's another Spartan back there. Way to go. Anything can be a memorial. God has established memorials. What a treat it is to look up at the sky in certain weather conditions and see a rainbow, which is a promise, a memorial in nature that is God's promise that never again will the world be wiped out through flood. The first Sunday of every month, we come before the table and we break the bread and we share the cup. And I use the language, do this in remembrance of me, is what Jesus said. A memorial. Even the crosses that hang throughout the church. Many of you wear a cross around your neck on a chain or have earrings with the cross. It is so that we would never forget the love and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Memorial. But the only thing I'm going to try and do in my sermon today is challenge you to view yourself, to view your very life as a living memorial to the love and the power of our God. Psalmist writes in Psalm 92, from one of the translations, "It is the righteous will flourish like the date palm, long-lived, upright, and useful. They will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic and stable. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Growing in grace, they will still thrive and bear fruit and prosper in old age. They will flourish and be vital and fresh, rich in trust and love and contentment. They are..." Speaking of God's people, "they are living memorials to declare that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." And so, brothers and sisters, as people of God, as disciples of Jesus Christ, you and I are called to be living memorials. The church itself is living and breathing, serving to preserve the remembrance of the love and the grace of Jesus Christ, seeking to live as he taught, to serve as he served. And so this sermon is actually the culmination of a 5-week sermon series called What is the Church? And you remember we did that little thing with the steeple and the doors, and it's the people. Church is the people. At that meeting on Thursday night, we sang a song from our hymnal called We Are the Church. It goes, "I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. all who followed Jesus, all around the world, yes, we're the church together. And then we broke into the stanzas. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. Do you hear that, those of you that are dozing off right now? The church is not a resting place. The church is a people. We're many kinds of people with many kinds of faces, all colors and all ages too, from all times and places. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. And as a church, we are called to be a living memorial to the love and the grace of our God. And so in this sermon series, we said, yes, the church is people, people who worship, passionate worship, people who welcome, who are radical in their hospitality, people who grow. We seek to grow through intentional faith development, people who share by being extravagant with their generosity. And today, it is people who serve, risk-taking, mission and service. But what does that look like? Well, Jesus lets us know exactly what it looks like. So in Matthew chapter 25, your bulletin has verses 31 through 40, but I'm going to start at verse 34. And these are the words of Jesus. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. The righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked, and gave you clothing? And when, I'm going to have to go back to my own notes. And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? Then the king will answer him, truly I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it for me. The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What Jesus is saying in this is, you saw me. You saw one who was dying of hunger and thirst. You saw one who was alone or was feeling alienated. You saw one who was exposed and vulnerable, one who was sick and who was bound. You had eyes to see, and you did something about it. That's a living memorial. Our mission and service in his name is a living memorial. The life of service flows naturally and inescapably from the teachings of Jesus, and none of us can avoid the call of God to service. Each and every one of us is called to serve, to use the gift that is given, and we find that in serving our own lives are blessed. Offering ourselves in deliberate service to improve the quality or the condition of life for somebody else is a tradition that is thousands of years old with amongst God's people. Certainly important to the people of the Methodist Church and the United Methodist Church. A celebration of a personal holiness and a social outward act in life of justice as a living memorial. Nearly every page of the scripture has an account of people serving God by serving others. And God equips us to do it. To this little church in Ephesus, Paul talks about all these different gifts that God has given us. And why does God give us these gifts? Ephesians 4:12 says, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body. But we're not all the same. And so I heard an analogy or an illustration. Maybe you've heard this one. Has anyone ever said to you that we are all God's toolbox? Have you ever heard that analogy? You know, you don't have a toolbox with the same exact tools in it. No, you know, you have a toolbox, and some of us are hammers, and some of us are screws. Some of us may be loose screws, but good thing we have the right thing to screw us back into the right place. All these different tools that we are given for unique gifts. That's a pretty good analogy. But I like a different one. I'm a golfer. In a legal golf bag, the golfer has 14 clubs, and every one of those clubs is there for a unique distance or a specific kind of shot. Some of us may be drivers, some of us may be putters, but the mission is the same. The mission is the same. And so here we are, acknowledging that our lives are called to be living memorials, and we seek to pass that down to the generations, to the Wolfgangs of the world that we baptized, to the confirmands that we brought into membership a couple of weeks ago. And these young people, you know, they have different experiences than we have. Beloit College every fall puts out a kind of a list of things that these incoming 18-year-olds have no clue about because these things happened before they were born. You ever read those kind of lists? I mean, a few years ago it was if they heard the sound of a manual typewriter being done and having it hit the end, ding, and then whoosh back, they would have no idea what that is. Or if they have no idea what the sound of... Remember how, you know, you couldn't just call somebody with one push the button. You had to go around and around and around and around. Even the sound of the old phone is something that no one knows unless they have the app on their iPhone for it. But there's a sound from my childhood that I miss. There was, at the end of our street, there was a gas station. And I'm pretty sure it was a 76 gas station. Anyone remember the 76 gas? I think there's still some in the Chicago area. And Mr. Kroll owned and operated the gas station, he with his son. And Mr. Kroll was there, and he had a funny accent. And, you know, my imagination would go, well, he was wounded in World War II. And based on his accent, I'm not sure which side he would have been, you know, fighting for. But I loved it when we would drive in there, my dad would drive the car, and we'd go over this little black thing, and it would go ding, 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 ding. Remember that sound? Ding, 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 ding. And here would come Mr. Kroll out. And what would he do? He would pop the hood. He had this disgusting, grease-filled rag he would pull out of his pocket. Dipstick, wanted to make sure that everything was good, the fluids were all good. And then he himself would lean in the window and say, what would you like, leaded or unleaded? And we would make our thing, and he would do it all. And then they would bring out the credit card machine, and there was no chip, you didn't plug it in. Remember those things? You know, and you'd sign the credit card slip. I missed that. Ding, 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 ding. Every time the crawls heard ding, 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 they knew it was a call to service. Now, for many of us, when we walk into the doors of the church and we're walking in, we're expecting the ding, 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 ding to go off. Here I am, serve me. Check under my hood to make sure all the fluids are right. Fill me up so that I can have what I need to make it through this week. But today, I want you to imagine, and I'm hoping there's some of you who are playful enough to actually do it. Ding, 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 ding. When you walk out of the building this day, I want you to hear in your mind that ding, 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 ding. Acknowledge that as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are leaving here to go out into the world to serve. As a matter of fact, many of us made a promise that that's exactly what we would do, that we would serve. Anyone who has taken membership in the Methodist Church has made a vow before God and people that we are going to participate fully by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our... sound more excited, but ding, ding! Our gifts and our... I confuse people. I got some ding, dings and some service, right, and our witness. We here at the United Methodist Church talk about disciples who love God, who care for each other, and who serve in the world. And we do a good job of that here. We have so many different feeding programs. We have a choir that goes to the prison. We have Stephen ministers that walk with people that are fractured and wounded. Habitat for Humanity, Appalachia Service Project, short-term mission trips to places like Honduras. Even our young youth on Wednesdays, relying on Christ, we call it the Rock. They have a tradition of making PB&J sandwiches for the food pantries. We have so many things that we do here. And maybe your favorite vehicle or outlet for service, I didn't even name. But we must not think of these as disconnected or separate activities from the lifeblood of the church. No! It is when we are there that we have church. And it is when we serve that we are church. Through our service, living memorials. And so I want to end this sermon by giving you homework. And you thought, but wait. Ding, ding, that's our homework. No, I want to give you homework, and I hope you take it seriously. This week, I want you simply to reflect upon a single question. A single question. Ask yourself throughout the week this question: what have I done in the last 6 months? What have I done? What have you done in the last half of a year to make a positive difference in the life of others that you would not have done if it were not for your relationship with Christ? What have you done in response to your faith in a God of love and grace? What have you done in the last half of a year because of that faith to make somebody else's life different, to make a positive difference? Honest reflection upon that question is going to open up the door to a deeper understanding of your own discipleship. And so, brothers and sisters, as living memorials, we have a call. We are called to remember. We are called to keep that memory alive. We are called to remember what God has done for us, to remember that we are loved, precious children in the eyes of God. But we need to remember that God needs you to have, God needs all of us to have eyes that see, hearts that love, an understanding of our gifts for service. Our acts of service are a living memorial. Just as Jesus said, truly I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it for me. Jesus says, you saw me. You saw me. You had eyes to see and you did something about it. We all have eyes. Let us see. Let us serve. A lasting memorial. Amen.